Hello?
Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Hello!
Hi! Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, my love. Welcome to another week of Death, a funny business.
Yeah, welcome. My mum's dead and so's her dad.
You love doing that.
I do. And I realised I haven't done it since like the second episode.
Which does actually give some context as to why we're here as well.
It does. We should probably tell everyone because I feel like we do say it, but like, have we been clear why we care about death so much?
We just love death.
We are technically experts because
we're not dead, but we have not dealt with a lot of death. Are we?
It could all be a simulation.
Yeah. No, this is a lovely radio show because we want to talk about death.
Yeah.
Because we've both been through a lot of shit.
My mum died, yeah. And then your dad died, and then we hadn't spoken in 6 years, which is crazy.
Did we not speak in 6 years?
Well, we didn't really know each other anymore, did we?
Well, I did know about you.
No, I knew about you, but we went to different schools. And we weren't friends. And we weren't friends.
And then we connected.
I was like, hey, I heard your dad died, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think you did do one of those messages.
Yeah, which is everyone probably sent you one of those.
They did, like, but I think it meant more coming from you.
I was like, hey. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, and I think also immediately I had more sort of, not respect, that's the wrong word.
No, I get what you're saying.
But I suddenly went, oh my God, she's been through so much. And then I really wanted to connect with you.
Yeah, and then...
Because you were the only one who understood.
You realise why we reconnected again after
because
that
of
was
funeral.
Mr. Jameson.
One of our primary school teachers'
oh
funeral.
Oh my God. Yeah, I actually want to talk about this because literally when we re-met because... our year one teacher, Mr. Jameson, died. God bless his soul. Mm. Sweet, sweet baby angel. And then we
kept in touch.
And then we had that dinner with all of the mums whose families have died.
Yeah.
We basically have this like weird little club.
Oh, we do.
We did. We had that weird day with, okay, I don't know if I can name
names.
Don't
name names, but just set the context.
You know, we went out and we had, it was like
three or four mums
who'd all lost their husbands or lost their wives or whatever, partners of the children who we all went to primary school with, and we kind of ended up at dinner, and then me and you, we literally spent that whole day together.
Yeah, we did.
From like the morning at like 10 a.m. and we didn't leave each other's side till 11. And then the rest is history.
For anyone who cares about us.
I'm so, so sorry anyone who's got me in your headphones.
It might be quite boring for other people, but I do think it's good to kind of explain a little bit about what we do.
And we planted that
and
tree. And
why we want to be here today and why we've got exciting guests.
We have exciting guests? What do you mean?
I know. We actually have guests on the show, Natasha.
Oh, see, I can't talk about myself just the whole time.
No, that is what you would love to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would. But I just want to tell people all my secrets.
You're such an open book. do you want to intro the show today?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay.
I feel like you...
I can do it. I can read. You know what, guys? Screw the dyslexia. I'm going to try. Okay. So today on the show, Becky, I don't know if you knew, but we have Matt Underwood, who is a wood turner. And after losing his dad in 2021, he made a rugby ball shaped urn to carry his father in, which I think is very, very cute and very, very special. And we're going to talk to him about how that came about.
Yeah, because I didn't even know what a wood turner was.
I don't know what a wood turner is.
The funny thing is...
We do know what a wood turner is now.
Well, I did because I Googled it. But also, I realised that I didn't know a lot of our guests and what they do. And I'm going to listen back to some of these episodes and go, do you know anything in
I know
life?
More about like what their death stuff is, but then the rest, like the really, really deep stuff. And then like I'm like, oh, wait, they do this as well?
I know.
Then we have Dan Glass, who's an award-winning AIDS and human rights activist, and he's a performer and writer. And they're going to be talking to us. Oh my goodness. They're going to be talking to us about HIV and AIDS and how that community deals with grief. It's going to be very interesting. They've written an amazing book. They're part of ACT UP, which is one of those. It's a very, very important charity that supports people living with HIV and AIDS. And so it's going to be a fun one, but also a serious one.
Yeah,
and
it'd be good to
I think it's going to be really interesting.
And listen, and we can have a laugh after.
Absolutely. And Dan is, I know Dan a little.
You do?
He comes into the shop I work at and buys various soaps.
Soapy, and sippy bubble
bubbles
things.
And all kinds of fun stuff.
Where do you work? You want to clarify that?
Yeah, I should clarify. Because it sounds like I'm insane and I'm incriminating Dan. I work at Lush sometimes when I'm not being a podcaster or an actor. So, yeah, I love it. Get you some bath bombs.
Living two lives.
Not that this is not an ad. Sorry, Lush. Love you. Pay me more. If you want an ad, pay me more. But yeah, that's the introduction of the show. I did it.
How was that? You did it. 10 out of 10. I think you should start doing it from now on.
Okay, fine. I will. I'll just
become... No, I actually can't give that to you because then you won't. No, I'm excited. I think we can get on with the show then, right?
Oh my gosh, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's round up
so
the first
are you ready
customer.
To speak to Matt?
I'm always
ready.
We're
going to let Matt in.
Let him in.
We're going to let Matt in. Hello, Matt.
Matthew.
Hello, yes.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Are you a Matt or a Matthew?
Matt, please.
Matt.
Oh, sorry. I know, sorry. I just want to clarify. I have a habit of elongating people's names for humorous value, and sometimes people really hate it. I got in trouble at work once for calling this guy Marcus. And I just kept looking, and he turned around to me one day and was like, "That's not my name." And I was like, no, I'm sorry, I'm doing a bit. Like, hee-hee.
Well,
anyway,
Matt,
this is
Natasha. She's quite a lot. Lovely yeah. human being, though. Thank you so much for joining us on today's radio show. I'm Becky, nice to meet you. And we've got a few questions,
haven't we? We have so many questions.
So should we just, we already introed you, but I think we should explain to everyone again if anyone's going to be popping in. You are a woodturner?
Yes, yep.
Can you explain a little bit about, describe that to us? Yeah.
Wood turning. So basically it's making wood round is the aim of the game. So things like, if you think of your, if you've got a staircase, banisters or railings, that sort of thing.
Making it round, is that what you said?
He's clever. He's like, you know, when you do the little bits and it sands it. Ooh, smooth.
Oh, so it's not sculpting.
No.
So, well, sort of. It's on a machine, on a lathe. You've probably seen videos online and stuff.
Would it be wrong to describe it as pottery but with a log?
it's like potting,
but with a log.
Basically, yes, on its side.
On its side.
On its side. Horizontal potting with a log.
Yeah.
Piece of
whatever
wood.
You can make on in pottery, you can make in wood turning, if that makes sense.
That's very exciting.
And more, I think.
Mm-hmm. And obviously our radio show is about death, which, you know, we try and laugh about it as much as possible. But on a serious note, I'm really sorry to hear that your dad passed away, is that right? And that's kind of how you got into this career path?
Yes, well, so I was wood turning since I was a sort of teenager, basically.
Oh, okay.
And yes, so unfortunately lost my dad 3 years ago to cancer.
Oh, bless
and
you. I'm sorry.
So we were big. Dad was a huge rugby fan, as am I. And mum basically suggested making a rugby ball urn for his ashes. And I sort of put it off for a little while because it needed a lot of work. And they're not the most simple things to make.
Tricky.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So, yeah, I ended up doing that a few months later, made the first rugby ball urn for Dad. And that had great feedback. It was a lot of work and getting around it, but had real great feedback. And I sort of found it was quite a niche market because no one was doing them. So I've kept basically going over the last few years, investing a lot of time into sort of new machines and tools to help it easier. And I'm just constantly trying to improve them, make them as best they can be, basically.
Wow. How long does that take?
Yeah.
So now I've got my sort of standard design I sort of budget about a working week.
Ah.
So it's probably 2 or 3 days on the lathe.
Yeah.
To get from the piece of wood to the finished artifact. And then, but the glue up stage takes quite a while as well. And actually, obviously, each lamination has to take a day to dry, sort of thing. So that can be weeks. And then also I've got all the timber I've got to make them. Some of the stuff I've got cut a year ago, and now I can actually use it, if that makes sense.
Is that because the wood has to dry? Does it have to be like super, super dry?
Yes, exactly. Mm.
So you have to wait for the wood to go into them.
Sorry.
Do you use it just rugby balls, or do you do other what's the word? Objects? Yeah. Sports equipment?
Yeah, so I could, I want to go into American footballers as well.
Nice.
Just because they're very similar.
Yeah.
People ask about footballs, but footballs are really hard to, because it's all like hexagons and pentagons, it's really hard to make that and have no gaps and then hollow it out sort of thing. So
yeah,
I've stayed away from there. But yeah, basically rugby balls at the moment and hopefully American footballs next year.
That's really impressive. And that's a very niche thing to do. Yeah. But I think that for me, like doing anything creative is quite like therapeutic. Did you find that was quite a nice thing to do, like when you were grieving, having your own space and just getting involved in something that you love doing? Or what was the process like for you?
Yes, it was nice. So dad passed away at the end of my final year at university. So that I basically went self-employed full time woodworking in a sense. So it went from being my hobby to my job. But it was nice to take a step back and not trying to be making money for a month. It was just make that earn. And now I really like it because it combines sort of two of my interests. It's not just woodwork, it's rugby as well. It brings in that whole, I guess, new markets sort of thing. And it's less, because it's such a big ticket item, it's not so much piecework.
For sure.
You know, I'm not standing at the machine slaving away all day like a factory. So it's, I love making them now. And I wish I could make more.
Oh, that's so nice.
Aww. Do you find it quite emotional to kind of, to, you know, if it's, I don't know, I could just imagine that.
Well, I suppose
it's something that's rugby, if it's something your dad really enjoyed doing, that's quite, I don't know, that's quite close to home. But I can then also, I guess it's lovely to have that in your house rather than just absolutely. Like, I mean, I didn't even have an urn for my dad.
Yeah, no, my
so this is actually, I kind of knew, not new to this, but obviously I know what an urn is, but I can't necessarily, I mean, that would have been quite a nice thing to do, I guess.
Yes, well, actually, we did bury the urn as well. But the making it was, quite a lot of work went into it. It was the response after was sort of the emotional bit, because no one's sort of seen them like that sort of thing. So
everyone
loved that. I had so many nice messages basically, and we kept the ball on display for a few months anyway. Before burying.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, what kind of feedback you got and what kind of messages you got, especially if you're doing them for the people as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a like, deeply personal thing to do. What are the response you get from people?
Yeah, so the few, I've only sold a handful basically over the last few years, and it's all been to, obviously, two families who have already lost their loved one. So it's less, which would be nice to actually sell one before someone's died, if that makes sense.
Yeah, get someone to preempt their own.
But most of the feedback's been fantastic. I mean, they've got to be, that's the one thing, they have to be perfect, because it is, you know, you can't have any cracks or gaps, anything like that. So, and I think as well, people, it's not sort of, I can't think of the word, but they sort of, the people who bought them, it's right, we've got to have one. It's perfect. They're rugby mad sort of thing. I've got one at the moment I'm making. I'm making it to their rugby club colours.
Oh, that's cool.
A black and white ball to match their T-shirts. So that's been
really cool. I can't believe it's not been done before though.
Yeah, I'm so surprised. But then again, I suppose in the specific, like with the wood turning, like that's and that is a real, real craft. Like that is so personalized and time consuming. I mean, I know you say it only takes you a few days, but like that's a real, real craft, because you can't really get it wrong. If you get it wrong, you have to start again, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's
have you ever got it wrong before? Have you, or like dropped it or something?
Well, if you drop it, it's a piece of wood. Well, I suppose it can splinter. Yeah,
it can get dense. In
sorry, and then Becky and I are having a domestic.
Cracks. And
sorry, Matt.
Right.
I've had quite a few balls which have just been basically experimental balls. I'm trying like a different design or something like that, or if it does mistake. But the ones which if I'm making them to order, I sort of make sure there's no mistakes, basically.
Nice.
Yeah. This is what's so fun about this show, is we're learning about all these things that I had no idea existed.
Right? Well, also, we learn, we meet all these special people that decide
doing lovely things.
Yeah, for other people at the end of the day.
I know. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you kind of want to add, Matthew, or anything you want to tell people about what
you
want to
shout out the wood turning urns.
Yes,
well, I've got a few. If anyone is interested, I've got a website which is rugbyballurns.com.
Slay.
Perfect.
It's a bit outdated, but
no, but it's clear, it's simple, people are gonna remember it.
Yes,
I know. I will. I wish I liked rugby, god damn it.
I know. Do you like any other sports? No other, like,
not really. I mean, I don't care. I mean, look, I'm just, I'm a little musical theatre nerd. I'm just singing
and
dancing.
Like, you should branch out and do like theatre, I don't know, theatre microphones. Boxes or microphones and
podcast studios.
How would that work?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, anyway.
Anyway, I think we're gonna go to a break. But thank you so much, Matthew, for joining. Matt.
Sorry, that's
for joining
my fault.
Us.
Matt, I'm so sorry.
And hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you for having me.
So nice to meet you. Bye.
See you after the break.
FUBAR Radio.
And we're back. We did it. Okay. So our next interviewee is Dan Glass, who is an award-winning AIDS and human rights activist. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hello,
hi. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I've heard that you two kind of know each other.
We know each other a little bit. From
through Lush,
because Dan comes into the shop and gets his little goodies.
I've always mincing, get myself some bath bombs, cheer myself up, keeps me going to fight the good fight.
Is this the time? Maybe we'll ask at the end what your favourite bath bomb is.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can
save
that to the end. Yeah. So keep
we're
that
not
in
at
mind,
Lush
Dan.
Today, Becky. We're not at Lush today. But Dan, I was super, super keen to get you on to the pod after I bumped into you at work the other day, because the work you do is so, so important, and we just want to talk to you a bit about how you came to be part of ACT UP and your journey here and everything. So yeah, if you want to tell us about how you kind of came to be where you are.
Yeah, and I guess it very much relates to me. For the concept of what your show is about, Death, a Funny Business. I think what you do is so beautiful, especially considering how personal it is for you and how much this is a kind of homage and honour and exploration to your personal losses, and how you're honouring the if you can say, the powers of death. And for me, the title, Death a Funny Business, speaks volumes. Okay, so in answer to your question, how did I get involved in AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power?
Mm-hmm.
An amazing HIV activist movement. I was diagnosed 19 years ago. It'll be my 20th anniversary next year. And obviously, death is so much to do with AIDS, HIV remembrance. So really, and staring death in the face when you get a diagnosis, particularly back in 2005 when medication was different.
Gosh.
And when education and awareness was different. And I'm talking about 2005. If I look at the generation before me, the generation before that, it was much more heavy in many ways. But winding back on my own personal journey, death has been something which has been so intricately woven into my DNA since way before I was born. So the ACT UP silence equals death logo is the pink triangle.
Yes.
Which is its inversion of what the LGBTQI plus inmates of the concentration camps used to wear.
I did not know that.
It's a direct lineage to the queer persecution in the concentration camps.
Wow.
And I am, all my grandparents were Holocaust survivors. I'm Jewish.
I'm Jewish too, Dad. I didn't know you were Jewish. Sorry. Yay.
Oh my God, we're going to extend
okay,
the show.
We really are. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. I just got really excited.
No, don't apologize at all. So obviously being a Jew, being a queer, being a descendant of Holocaust survivors, being HIV positive, you have to find a way to deal with death, and having a sense of humour is essential. It's actually like there is no other way, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's how we, well, we deal with our own grief in a way, isn't it? It's kind of like taking it seriously, but also knowing kind of when to laugh about it.
And yeah, I mean, that's why the whole show came to be, because I think that you're so right. When death is such a real, it's a reality, it stares you in the face every single day. It really is consuming. And no, I think that the fact that you have used your power as well to carry on fighting even through the fear of that, it's pretty freaking awesome. So props to you, Dan. And yeah, anyway, so I didn't get emotional. No, I'm fine. How has your experience with that shaped the way you view death and the way you carry on with your life? Is that how the activism came to be? Like, was that the decision that was like, does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. How has death informed my activism in every way? Because the fact that we lost, and I'm going to focus on HIV and AIDS.
Absolutely.
The fact that we lost thousands and thousands in my own local kind of frame of reference when it comes to London, but millions, like literally 36 million people across the world who died of AIDS, who didn't have to, because it's because of pharmaceutical greed and government inaction.
Mm.
So you could say died, or you could say murdered because of greed and profit. And the fact that we've lost 36 million beautiful souls unnecessarily, I have no other option, living with HIV, being connected to this incredible community who is so spiritually powerful because of this loss. I've got no other option but to keep fighting, not just to honour them, not just to kind of ground myself, but to stop it happening to the new generation. Because our goal in ACT UP is to find a cure for all and to have healthcare for all, we are still so far from there. And this relates to your other questions. Some people think, oh, it's something of the 80s and 90s. It's not. Mm. There's still people who are being diagnosed today in London, for example, because they don't have access to services, because they're scared to go to the doctor for fear of being deported because of the hostile environment strategy, let alone people across the world who can't even get access to medication because of the inequitable price of drugs. So death informs me to keep fighting so that other people don't have to die. It's pretty clear.
That's so shocking. No, so what absolutely. Kind of work do you do then to raise, obviously coming here today, we're talking about it, but what kind of work do you do like as part of your, you know, activism work?
Yeah.
Well, the three at the top of my head at the moment, this is where we last saw each other because I came into the shop, got my bath bombs, gave you... an ACT UP pin-up 2025 calendar, which I am hustling from the rooftops at the moment. You can get it on Etsy and get in contact with me, Dan Glass Mincer.
Well, you've got one, Dash.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So it's fabulous. It's pink.
What does it look like?
It's bright pink,
yeah,
of course. And then every single month is a... I mean, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but a different queer person or a different person with living with HIV or AIDS, and kind of showing a bit about them and then their story as well. I know that I read some stories, but there's also information on there in every single month, which is really interesting.
Yeah, totally nailed it, Tash. So the calendar is the first thing that's keeping me busy in terms of my activism. Basically, it's got 12 portraits of incredible HIV activists. Not all of them are positive, because allyship is such an integral part of part of the struggle. And then it's got 300 plus movement moments, which talk about the evolution of HIV and AIDS activism, medical advances, media moments, human rights advocacy. But I've got the list of the moments here. Either of you, when's your birthday?
17th of December.
Okay, let me see.
I'm a Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, not all of them have it, but let me see. December the 17th, yes.
Yes.
This is the International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers, to remember those who died to sex worker prejudice and mistreatment.
Oh,
and
I love that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Really obviously, good. There's a direct overlap between sex worker rights and HIV and AIDS and healthcare activism.
Absolutely.
Because if we're looking at stigma culture in general, who gets affected by the brunt of these stigmas worst? So that's a really important moment on the calendar. Becky, when's your birthday?
All right, 7th of September.
Ah, he's happy birthday for recently.
I know. I'm a Virgo.
Oh my god, wow. Okay,
what does this wow me?
Oh, beautiful. So the publication of Our Stories Told by Us, celebrating the African contribution to the UK HIV response, commemorating 40 years of African leadership. It was published in 2023. It's one of the most incredible books when it comes to the roadmap of how we can end HIV and AIDS. And the last picture on the calendar, and I'm not supposed to have favorites, but it's such a beautiful picture in December. I'm sorry, it's not December, it's September. Perfect, your month. Angelina Winnie, Rebecca Charity and Memory are the authors, the co-authors of Our Stories Told by Us. So yeah, if you really want to be inspired by the leadership of people who've stared death in the face and turned it into something transformative and powerful, do read Our Stories Told by Us. So they're just some of the two examples of the movement moments in the calendar, which complement the beautiful, sexy portraits for every month.
That's amazing. What a great idea, that calendar. That's so amazing.
It's just so great. Oh.
And talking about like the roadmap to kind of like, you know, how it's kind of where we are now, how it starts and where we are now. What can we do now? Yeah. Like, where are we right now?
Yeah.
And what can everyone do to kind of obviously remove the stigma? Because we don't like taboo and stigma, do
we,
Tash?
We don't like stigma.
What can we do?
Well, I guess the first thing is doing what you're doing and educating and raising awareness about the realities of HIV and AIDS. Let me just tell you this conversation, which was probably the most informative conversation for my journey with HIV and AIDS. The point is around HIV education, and it's everyone's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I was diagnosed in 2005. Like I said, I was a complete mess for about 5 years. I had this gorgeous lover, called Thierry Schaffhauser, who I'm still a bit in love with. I went round to his, or was it mine? I can't remember. But we hadn't had sex, and I was really nervous and in a complete state. And I said to him, listen, I've got something to tell you. I don't know really how to tell you. I'm really sorry. I can get in a taxi, I can leave now. And he was like, what is it? Spit it out. And I was like, listen, I'm really sorry. He was like, come on, get to the point. I was like, I've got HIV. We don't have to sleep together. I'm sorry. And he looked at me and he was like, Dan, don't you be so bleep patronizing. It's not your responsibility to educate me about HIV and AIDS. It's up to us all to educate each other. Now get your clothes off and get in my bed. It was great, and we had a great time. And then the next morning, he was like, Dan, read this about ACT UP, watch this film about ACT UP.
Wow.
And then for me, that was the moment, the penny dropping moment, when it wasn't my responsibility, but society's responsibility.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's point number one of what we can do. And this relates to a lot of your other points, your questions. HIV and AIDS education, for me, it was the most illuminating when I really got through the really harsh times. It was like a light bulb moment when I really saw the world in such a bigger frame of reference than I was before. My world expanded because I learned about power and powerlessness, about injustice, about solidarity, about allyship, about death, about how you can turn fear of death into something powerful, and about the incredible people and movements whose shoulders we stand on, which relates to so many things. Like HIV and AIDS is the kind of is a is a portal to so many other issues: feminism, sex worker rights, elderly people's rights, inequity across the world, so many things. So that's the first thing. Second thing, on more specific things, because it's coming up very soon, World AIDS Day is December the 1st. Come to Rich Mix, because it's my favourite thing within ACT UP, is our World AIDS Day show, HIV Blind Date. And actually, this relates to the point of Beth, the funny business. So we do a kind of subversion of Cilla Black's Blind Date, called HIV Blind Date, because living with HIV, we deserve love and sex as much as the rest of them.
Absolutely, 100%.
And this is a trans healthcare special, because if we're looking at who doesn't have access to healthcare in this current moment with the attacks on our trans family, we're platforming trans healthcare issues. And no one knows these yet, but these are just some of the questions that Cilla Jack, not Cilla Black, will be asking the contestants. So question number one is, no, it's quite, I don't know what question number this is, but one of the questions is, JK Rowling, Andrew Tate and Donald Trump all responded to your online dating profile. You gather them all in a hotel lift at once.
It breaks.
You look in your handbag and all you have is a condom, dildo and a gun. What do you do?
Oh my God, I have so much hope. These are brilliant questions.
Oh, I actually don't know what I do.
I'd ping the condom in their face.
That's a good idea. You don't actually have to use a condom.
Or like put it over the gun.
You could
and then
suffocate
just like,
someone with a condom.
I could put the condom over Donald Trump's head.
There we go. Not that now that he's president, that's a bit scary, but no, I'm kidding.
No, I that's amazing. Wow.
Oh well, I think I would love to come. Can we come? Can we go?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Oh my gosh, Dan.
I think what you do is, you know, really admirable, and I think, you know, as you've mentioned before, we all do have to take accountability and responsible to educate ourselves. So thank you
100%.
So much for coming on here today and sharing your story and telling us a little bit about everything you do.
Yeah, we appreciate you so immensely.
I literally loved all the questions. I wrote so many things there.
I have one more question though before you go.
Oh yeah.
What bath bomb did you buy?
What's your favourite?
Oh, I don't know the name of it.
That's okay. It's, you can just describe it, because people on the radio.
No,
so
I'll know what it is.
Oh, that's a fun game. You describe it.
Describe it to me, Dan.
The pink glittery one, because I love...
What, the snow fairy?
The snow fairy,
that's the only one I go for.
I'm so, so glad that we have met through that and you've been able to come on the podcast. Yeah. And I wish you all the best with all your activism, and
thank
hopefully
so
we
much.
Shall see each other in Lush, because it's Christmas and it's snow fairy season.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Take care.
Bye. Oh, that was so nice.
He's the best.
He you know, talk about having guests with good energy. I know he wasn't in, but
no, but
I felt like he's so positive and vibrant, and
he's honestly like
nice
just
person.
The best. Like, one of the most passionate humans. And every time they've come in the shop, I'm just like, oh, what a breath of fresh air. And yeah, it's so nice to have someone who gives such of a shit.
I know, it's nice, isn't it?
It's quite nice.
How are your energy levels? Should we play game?
Oh, I just think I'm ready to go home.
Although I'm not actually excited. Are you joking?
I'm joking. That took her a second. Did you see? It took her a second to analyse that. I was like, I'm going home. She's like, what?
I thought you might be. We don't go home.
I'm not going home. I want to play a game home. And I want to beat you.
Oh, it's this game. Okay, so I think this game
is
something like Guess the Dead Celeb, is it? Or something?
Guess the Dead Movie
Dead
character.
Movie character.
This week, Becky and I go head to head.
Oh, we do go head to head.
Yeah.
So we've got some audio clips and we're going to play them, and then we have to guess what they are.
And it's going to be a dead movie character.
It's going to be a dead movie character, and I am not going to know who it is because I don't watch movies. And I think this is really, really unfair, whoever put this game together. But
it can't be Becky, it can't be me losing to myself.
No, because
all
you
the
always
time.
Win. Okay, I'm going to start by pressing Becky this clip.
Such a beautiful place.
I know what this is.
To be with friends.
You can't talk through the clip. Because how am I supposed to hear it?
I'm sorry, do it again.
Such a beautiful place. To be with friends.
Talking of...
It sounds like a cartoon.
Right, I'm going to shut up. What is
I
it?
I don't know how you...
What is it? This.
Okay, talking of J.K. Rowling, who I do not condone
anymore. Potter?
It is Harry Potter, and it is Dobby. Oh, the house.
Oh, it's Dobby! I like Dobby!
Dying in Harry Potter's arms, which is the most devastating scene.
I watched that last weekend, actually.
Did you? I'm
it was
proud
really,
of
and
you.
I cried.
I'm proud of you. Well done. Thank Although, you. J.K. Rowling, get in the bin. Sorry. Yeah.
Clip two.
Get in the bin.
Jack!
What was that?
Jack!
Jack Titanic, but it won't be that, will it? Because just because it's
it
Jack.
Titanic?
Oh my!
You got one!
Yeah! But she does not sound.
She sounds really.
Jack!
That doesn't
Did she
sound
put something
like
on her.
Her
voice. I think. God, she
sounds
right.
So
she
weird.
Sounds distraught.
Kate Winslet sounds funny today.
Clip three.
Okay.
You're the world's worst dog. Don't believe me.
I know this one,
Beep.
Molly and me.
Yeah, good job, babe. I did know that, but I let her have it because I feel bad.
Thank you. Oh my God, that was, I haven't watched that in a long time because that always makes me cry. Oh, I have something to talk about later as well.
Okay, good.
Clip four.
Thank God.
Long live the king.
Beep, I know what this is. This is the
Lion King.
Mufasa. It's when Scar killed, spoiler, sorry guys, spoiler alert.
Even I've watched that tie break point last one, apparently.
Tie break? We don't have a buzzer system, Yasmin. This doesn't feel fair.
Clip five, ready?
I better know this.
This feels fun. Last one. Okay. Mickey Mouse.
She's not going to know what this is.
Sounds really old.
Okay, wait, let me, because I don't know whose death it is, because I didn't actually listen
okay,
to the clip.
Okay, let's
but
listen.
But
let's
there's
listen.
Many deaths.
Okay,
in
let's
this,
listen.
So.
6 seconds.
Yeah, I know who it is. No. I know what it is. I've already buzzed.
Okay.
I buzzed.
Can I say what I think
it's,
it is?
It's the death of... Oh, my God. It's Star Wars, okay? It's Star Wars, and it's the death of... Not Obi-Wan Kenobi, the other one. Oh.
Obi Kenobi, I don't
What's
know.
What's the other
idea.
Guy called?
Obi
it's
no-
not...
What?
It's
Obi-Wan
not-
Kenobi.
Oh, I was right. Okay. I should just trust myself more.
Yeah.
It's the death of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obviously.
Thank you. So does that mean I win?
I think she won.
Fuck.
But also.
Yeah. And with a Star Wars.
Also, I think that I
tie-break.
Did pretty well there.
I'm not going to lie, Becky. You did really good.
And
Can I
you
think
edit
if it
out my silly answers, please, Jan?
No, that's not how this works. This is a live podcast. Get over it. That's the whole point.
All right. Well, on that note, it's going to break.
Bye.
See you in a bit. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back.
Hi, babe.
To Death of Funny Business.
Yeah, welcome back.
With, who are we?
Oh, I'm Natasha Spencer-Levy, and you are?
Becky Briggs.
Yeah, we are. What a show.
What a show. You seem quite, like, tired. Where's the energy at?
What do you mean? I can't be your performing monkey at all times. Sometimes, Tasha's going to have a day where, look, this light is blazing my eye. I had a little bit of Coke, not the fun kind, Coca-Cola.
Other brands
are available. I've got a bit of a headache.
I'm sorry.
And also, we've had a very deep
show. No, we have
show.
Had a very deep show. How are you feeling about it? How
great.
What are your key takeaways?
I really like Matt. What a sweet angel.
I
think that is so sweet that he's doing that. And the fact that it's his little craft project. Well, obviously it's his job, but his little project for his dad has become
sweet.
His career. And then, I mean, Dan is just brilliant. I mean, it's just so nice to talk to someone who's so passionate about the community and caring and activism and in general just a good human being. Like Dan is just a good human being and he cannot be otherwise, and it's just very, very refreshing to hear someone talk so passionately about causes that I think people at the moment in the world, the way the state of the world is, we're so bombarded with like real horror, I think, all the time, that like sometimes we forget that there's stuff on our own doorstep that we can do. And like,
I think sometimes it could become very overwhelming when you're reading all of this information and there is just so much shit going on.
Yeah, there's so much stuff going on,
and it's hard to know where to start. So I guess it's great that we can chat to people and find out like what is it that we can do and
100%
and do all that
how
stuff.
Are you today, Becky? How did you have a nice show?
I'm good.
How's your week been?
My week, I never know because it's always a Tuesday, but my week's been good actually. I've been feeling fine.
Good.
I you know, earlier I said I want to talk about something.
Yeah, you did.
I've been holding it in.
Go on.
I watched a really, really sad film.
Oh, tell me.
For the first time in, I mean, I don't watch films, do I?
So this is a
rarity. And I watched a really sad film over the weekend. No, because it's Swedish. But it was about this family who, I don't want to give it away, but it was about this family and there was some kind of really bad dynamics between each
for sure.
all the family members. And there was like the mum and the dad and then the two kids. And I think the little boy was autistic and the girl was going through like puberty and wanted to be a pole dancer and the dad just didn't get it. And there was just a lot of friction.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. It's quite dramatic to watch. And then the father wants a divorce and the mum is like, you're not getting a divorce until I see that you can pay the kids enough attention and until you stand up for your kids and you are there and you are actually here and present.
Mm.
And can I spoil it?
Yeah,
close your ears if you don't know.
We don't even know the name of it. So.
We think that's just because we want her, you know.
Yeah.
We want her to have the father to kind of be a good dad when they separate. She has cancer.
Shit.
And she is dying.
Oh, God.
And she doesn't tell anybody until the very end. And that's the reason she was trying to hold it together for the family.
And you watched it.
And I watched the whole development of every character and how the dad realised that he was being a shit dad and suddenly turned out to be the best dad in the world and loved his kids more than anything and then fell in love with his wife again. And, you know, it was very emotional. And does she die? Yeah, she dies.
She dies.
And shit. I haven't watched sad films in so long because I just can't hack it and I just don't want to go there. Why would I want to do that? But I did it. It was about, I think I started watching it at like 10 o'clock on a Saturday night or something. I thought, do you know what? Let's just put it on and see what happens. And I didn't know that it was going to be that sad until the end. And I just sobbed for about an hour. But the kind of cry that you do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've cried like that since Dad died. It was like a really deep emotional. It hurt. I was going, ah! You know, and you're like, everything is awful. Yeah. And I just wanted, I don't know what I wanted, but I was just letting it all out. And I was so triggered. And I was like, oh my God, I actually just really miss my dad right now.
Oh, babe.
And it was really emotional.
When was this? Saturday?
I think so. It was this weekend.
Because I did this on Friday with my therapist. I was like, I did the same thing. I had a guttural cry.
A guttural cry. That's
I was
what
like,
it's
I'm literally like taking something in my body. Uh-huh. And then I had a nap and I woke up and I felt better than I have in weeks. Because, you know, with a fibromyalgia diagnosis, like learning that like pain and like emotion can actually cause this like kind of chain reaction of like real chronic pain. And I had this like thing and I literally woke up and I was like, I actually feel so much better. It's actually insane how crazily our bodies are so connected. Like our brain is, our emotions are so connected to the rest of my body. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I've just been learning about this recently.
You've just been learning.
I just think it's fascinating.
Tell me more what you've been learning. What have you been learning?
Just what you said in terms of that your body carries so much stress.
Absolutely.
And it's because our brains and our body aren't connected. Yeah. We're just disassociated. If things are too, especially if you go through trauma like we have.
Exactly.
We just cut it off and go, actually, it's easier just to process this later.
Well, it's
or
also
just
like
not process it. And then our body stores all this
stuff.
Tension and like sadness and heaviness and we're just carrying it around.
I don't know about you, but like I realize literally on Friday I was like, I'm so on autopilot so much of the time. Like I always have a podcast in, I always have like I always have an audiobook on, I have the radio on or whatever, like I'm doing something, so there's something happening in the back because I can't
sit still, honey.
Can't sit still and I can't concentrate because for too long, because you got it's sometimes it's like But I mean, I genuinely think that that's a lot where the trauma stuff comes in.
It's very difficult to sit and feel comfortable in it. And it is uncomfortable. You have to sit with the uncomfortable.
You do.
And I've started doing that now. And I think even forcing myself to sit and watch that film and allowing myself to just sit there. I didn't go, because normally I'd go on my phone straight away and just find something funny on TikTok.
Yeah, you just
to
start
try
like,
and just be like, okay, that's just happened. But we don't deal with that, do we? No, we just have fun. And then I would just scroll and pretend that everything's okay. And
it's like when you watch a scary movie.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch a scary movie and then like, okay, well, we have to watch some TikToks before bed so that
Yeah. No, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Whereas I actually sat with it for once and went,
oh, I'm so proud of you.
Cry, baby.
Cry, babe, cry.
Cry and just get it out. And I felt
did
good
you feel better?
It. I did feel good for it, but I was wearing so much mascara, and like, I wish I could like share a photo of me, because it was just like.
Do you have one? We're gonna put that somewhere.
And I was Let's do it.
We'll share like sobbing pictures. Let's just do it. Because at the end of the day, do you know what I'd really like about this podcast is if we're just really honest about all of our things, and I think we are. I think we are pretty good at doing that and just being like, we're gross, and sometimes it's gonna be gross, and sometimes it's gonna be messy, and it's brilliant.
I've just been told what the I completely agree.
Sure. Okay.
The film is called, I've heard from our producers out there, is called Let Go.
Which let it go.
They did. They let go.
Let it go.
And also, that's what we need to do.
We do. Well, I watched Coco.
Oh yes.
You know that we
the Halloween
was it last week? No, week before last we had our guest on talking of the Day of the Dead, and we were talking about Coco, and then I went and babysat some kids up my road, and they were like, we're gonna watch Coco, and I was like, okay, I'm sitting with these children, we finished the movie, and I'm sobbing. They're like kind of giggling at me because I'm like, they all got together in the end and it's okay. I know,
but I wasn't that sad when I watched it. I was sad, but I didn't cry.
Do you know what it is for me? Can I tell you? Because I'm a bit different. Like, when it's sad, obviously it's sad. Like, I sometimes cry about those things, but I always cry when it's happy. So like when it's like happy tears, like it's the fact that Coco, like, you know, the grandma, for the spoilers, sorry guys, this is spoiler central today, but anyone who hasn't watched Coco, like at the end, grandma dies a little bit. They finally, like, they do this big journey to get back to her, so she can remember her father, so that they can, when she dies, they can all be together and they can all come and celebrate the Day of the Dead together. And it's literally like, it's like they all come back and it's like, she's dead, but she's also like, they're all together. Yeah. And I literally, it's like my biggest thing, if I need to set off my tears, is when you watch like those military coming home videos.
Oh my gosh, I know that.
I cannot. Like, honestly, I'm done. Like, you watch these things, it's like the kid. But that, do you know what that is? Do you know what that is?
It's rawest form though, isn't it, as
well? Well, it is, like, but it's also like, reunion. For me, it's like the dream. It's like if one day I turn around and mum's standing over there I'm like, oh fuck. Yeah. Like, I just know, like, that's the feeling of like when you turn around and you see someone you love, you haven't seen for so long. I always get really emotional when I see long distance friends as well, because I'm like, oh, I just feel so like,
it's just, I'm that so time happy, apart.
But like, it's so, yeah.
And the fact that you have actually come back, whereas my mum is still not back, I guess it's that.
Yeah. I also nearly stopped a fight on the train. That was fun.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
If you ever get involved with Natasha, she will start talking to somebody.
Yeah. Everyone. Yeah. Well, no, but also always
people start talking to you.
I have got that kind of face.
You have this energy and this kind of like, anyone want to chat?
Yeah, I do. I do get that a lot. Like, and not in like a weird, creepy way.
Yeah, you're just like a lovely, approachable person.
In like a, gosh, yeah, got a... You look like a face I can talk to, and I'm like, yeah, it's cool.
That's a compliment.
Can I tell you a story?
I don't
really
know if you
quickly
have time for a story. Okay,
we have one
you're
quick
allowed
story.
To have time
so
for
I was on
story.
Tour with the show the other day, and we went all the way up. So we had to go all the way to where was I? Bury St Edmunds, and got on the train, stopped at Ely about 8 o'clock in the evening, and they basically said that we'd missed the last train to Cambridge, so we couldn't get to Bury St Edmunds. So I'm like, we're like 45 minutes out in the car. I'm like, what are we going to do? And I just saw a load of old people standing on the platform. I just rounded them up and went, right, I'm getting in a cab. Who's coming with me? And this lovely woman called Jane, and I've forgotten her husband's name. We all got in this cab together, and like, I was like, right, come on, we're going. I'm not waiting. And like, let's go. And we made friends, and I was like, hello, hello. Got in the car, drove to Bury St Edmunds. They then gave me a lift from the station to my digs. Turns out he worked at the theatre. It was great. I love, this is the thing.
That's
I think
amazing.
People should talk to each other more. That is my message for the day.
Talk to strangers. That's how we met Dan.
Yeah, that's
Dan.
How I met Dan. Chatty Dan.
Exactly. I do like talking to strangers. I do like that.
I think making new friends and just
being open and honest and
it's
chatty
so important.
And human interaction, because that's what we need, isn't it?
Hey, if we hadn't have chatted, we wouldn't be here.
Many other reasons, but yeah.
Sure. I mean, other people dying, but like, you know.
I know.
Swings and roundabouts.
Love you, Tash.
Happy
it's
Tuesday,
really
Becky. I love you. This is my favourite part of the week.
It's my favourite part of the week as well. And we're going to go to the theatre now.
We are. We're going to go and see.
We're related.
Yes, we're related at the other palace. Whose writer we had on the other week?
We did Florence Lace Evans.
Yes, Florence. So we're going to go and see that, which we're super excited about. We're having a little Death of Funny Business.
Little day out, evening out. Well, thanks so much for watching, listening, whatever you're doing. If you're doing your dishes or brushing your teeth. Thanks for listening to Death of Funny Business with myself, Becky Briggs.
And me, Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We've had so much fun. And thank you to our guests as well. It's been
Matt and Dan, Big Slay.
Big Slay, whatever that means.
Go follow them on their socials. And we'll see you next week, guys.
Keep chatting, guys. Bye!
Bye!